Gracious Heavenly Father, bless thee, O Lord. Bless the holy name. We worship you, Father. We thank you, Lord, God Almighty, for your love, for what we have received from you, Lord, the revelation that we are your children. For those that love you, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us, each and every one of us, and make us to see your great love for us as the Heavenly Father, that we are part of that family. We can never thank you enough, Lord, for the great salvation that you have given us in Christ Jesus, your only begotten Son. We praise you, Father. And we praise for this time that we can come together, Lord. This is an appointed time made possible, O Lord, by you, compelling us, Lord, to come together and sit before you, Lord, and to learn of you. We thank you, Father, for this privilege. And we not need just commit ourselves to you here now, but for those out there around the world to gather themselves in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to learn of you. Bless all those, O Lord, have ears to hear and heart to receive that holy word of life. Asking this, Father, right now that you break it down further to us also, Lord, today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless all of you. May be seated. Last Sunday we talked about consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession. Now I said this, that every one of us have a profession. I'm not talking about your job, your career. Every one of us here should have the same profession. You know what the word profession is? It comes from the word, well, professor, professor. What does a professor do? If a professor is a professor of literature, a professor of scientific thing, he must be able, alright, to know what he professed to have. He must be able to have this knowledge of what he professed, this professorship. So every one of us is a professor, and we all have a degree, B.E. You should know that, born again. So we can profess that we are Christian. And as a child of God, we need to know what we profess from the Word of God. That's what the Bible said, we need to give an answer to every man who asks of our faith. Right, so we profess you're a Christian, but you tell them, I don't really know much about the Bible. I don't know, go and ask my pastor. Ask them, go to the internet and Google for your answer. That's not the way. So the Bible here, for therefore, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession. That is in verse 1 of chapter 3. So that's what we have last week. So I just want to let you remind you. Okay? And what I also went through with that, Paul talks about Moses. Moses, he was faithful in all his household, that which God had put him in charge, and that's Israel. But we have one who is greater than Moses, and that was Christ. And he is faithful in all his house, and that is we are the house of God. Okay, so now let us continue now. But must remember one thing, the Bible also says in verse 4 here, in the last part, he that built all things is God. So it is God that built it. Okay? Moses was just his servant, his builder. Christ, the Son of God, is also God's builder. Alright? And here we are all. Me as a minister, I'm also helping in the building. And every one of us also. Alright, building ourselves, singing praises to ourselves, edifying one ourselves, we are building each other up. Get it? Edifying one another, build one another up. Alright. Now let us go therefore now to verse 7. Alright. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. So now, we want to consider today one of the most important, our subject here today for subtitle will be today. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. As in the day of propagation, but that part will be for the issue, not for us. But if today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. If you harden your heart, you will not enter, as God said, into my rest. The subject is today. It's about God's rest. So we want to study this because no matter how, every time, you know, I have preached this 3 times, I mean, 2 times already, but this is my 3rd time going through, and I still find golden nugget. You know, more is that you can, you know, there's always things that you never seen before. So we are going to look at it. Alright. So now here, God is building up through Jesus Christ a people, the household of God. So Paul is now taking history of what the household of Moses was doing when they were out there in the wilderness when they came out of Egypt. For 40 years God dealt with them. You know, the journey of God's people is not an easy journey. We sing that song, it's not an easy road. Israel have been in Egypt and they are crying out for deliverance. God sent a deliverer, Moses. And they saw the mighty work of God and they were happy. So when they left Egypt that night, they were happy. But the moment they came across the Red Sea, they grumbled. They spoke against Moses. They said, why are you bringing us out here to die? Well, God did miracle. They saw the miracle, they crossed the Red Sea over to the other side. And when they came to Mount Sinai, Moses went up to Mount Sinai and he spent 40 days, 40 nights out there. And yet the people was waiting. They think, well, maybe he died out there. And yet with all that rumbling out there, the mountain, the clouds and the thundering and lightning, they saw everything. And yet, there's so much doubt in them. And as Moses went up there in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, right down here below, at the foot of the mountain, the people just rebelled. And asked Aaron to build their gods, Elohim. And so, Aaron was being, well, you know, you've got no backbone. Sometimes, you know, when ministers do not have a backbone, that's a problem. They manipulated him. And he succumbed to their desire. And he built them a golden calf. And he said, this is Elohim who brought you out of Egypt. And they worshiped an idol. You want to see an idol? Why the golden calf? Because you trace back all to Nimrod today. And that's one of the things about this idol. A lot of idols you can see today, all the heathen, always trace all the way up to Nimrod. And I just wonder myself many times, I say, how is it that Israel, with all the miracles that God did for them, and yet they question God? Well, when they were out there in the wilderness after Mount Sinai, God had Moses build a tabernacle. And if Tamarack was there in the wilderness. But people do not always see every day. That's not true, huh? For people to say that there were the pillar of fire were there, literally, and the pillar of cloud, literally, by day, the pillar of cloud. By night, it turns to a pillar of fire. 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, for all the 40 years out there. That's not true. Because that's how they read the Bible. They read it literal. And they asked me, as I said, my friend asked me, he don't believe it? I said, okay, that's what you believe. But why did the Jew, why did the children of Israel come up to Moses and ask Moses, is God with us or not? If you have seen the pillar of fire out there in the night, you see the pillar of cloud out there in the daytime, above the tabernacle, why would they ask this question? Is God with us or not? I thought if the cloud, a pillar of fire, and a pillar of cloud is there, literally, and I'm Moses, and they ask me a question, I give them a big slap in the face. And they just point to them and say, what's that out there? You see, faith do not come by sight. Right? And I told my friend, I said, if you were in your church and there's a literal pillar of fire out there in front of the pulpit, every Sunday you go to church, it's out there. Every Sunday you go, it's out there. Pillar of fire. Would you have doubt that God is with you? And you know what he said? He says, I might. Wow. So seeing is not believing after all. Right? And what Brother Abraham said is true. Believing is seeing. Seeing is not believing. You know magician? How they manipulate the hand? The sleight of hand? Seeing is not believing. That's why when you believe the word of God, you get the revelation. You will see. But God will give it to you. You know. 40 years. And Paul using this history. When he wrote this to the Jews. The converts, the Hebrew converts, who had been persecuted greatly, and they wanted to go back to Judaism. They were wondering, you know, what's all this persecution? Why must it come upon me? Look, persecution is everywhere, every day. Now in Russia, you have churches are being banned, even, you know, not the government type, not in China, the same, the government type, but in all those household type, you know, they're being persecuted. So, if Christianity is a religion to you, then you do ritual, going to church every Sunday, and that, give your tithes and all that. That's all you do. And want to expect blessing from God. But you do not want persecution. Hey, the trial of our faith. The Bible talks about the trial of our faith. There must be a trial. Let me tell you, well, you have this guy called Peter. Right? Well, who was with Jesus. I always call him the big fisherman. Because there was a movie back in those days, Nick called him the big fisherman. Because he was the leader of the 12 disciples. Very outspoken. So one day, you know, after Jesus Christ resurrected, he walked on the water. Right? When they were fishing. They could not fish. Jesus can keep walking. Remember on the sea or Galilee? They thought he saw a girl. Then he said, is that you, Lord? He said, this is me. And he was walking on the water. And Peter said, if it is you, Lord, bid me come. Well, you know, Peter had this posture and very, very sure, assured, confident. But he knows the word, of course. Lord, if it is you, bid me come. Say the word, right? Bid me come means say, ask me to come, and I will walk on your word. Jesus, come. Simple, one word. Come. And it was, Jesus was standing on the water, on the Sea of Galilee, and there was the boat, and Peter put his foot up and stepped on it. Jesus said, come. He was not walking on the water, huh? He was walking on the wood. Remember, I gave that illustration to you years ago. He was walking on the water. The first, when he put his foot out of the boat and stepped on the word, the first letter was C. He stepped on the sea. That was the Sea of Galilee. Huh? What do you think was in the mind of Peter? I'm standing on the sea. And his eye was focused on Christ. Because that was the man that uttered the word, come. You have to believe. And you will see. Come! And Peter stuck on the first word, first letter, see. And look at Christ. That was the Son of God. The glory of God. And Peter was glowing like the moon. Right? But then, now that's the favor, Peter. Watch. But then the wind was blowing. Huh? The wave was tossing. Now his eyes was no longer focusing on the sun. Alright. He was hearing all that sound of the wind and the wave roaring and oh my. A distraction. The moment he turned his attention to what was around him. The moon, the glory of the sun. No, the moon gets the shining from the sun. So the moon began to wane. You know what the moon, when it's round, when it starts to wane, you mean by waning? It means going into a crescent. Going dim. And his feet begin to go dim. Oh! That's the next letter of the word come. Right? Oh, and he never go to Jesus Christ, which is M-E, me, come. He never reached Christ. Then he started to sing. Lord, sing. And Jesus lifted him up. You see, every one of us here, he talked about no trial. We don't want trial. We don't want persecution. Your focus, like Peter, the focus must be on the Word of God. The moment you look around in the world of situation, of problem, and all this, and you're worried of this, and you're worried of that, your faith will wane off like the moon. Like the full moon, you will wane off. Yes. So look upon the Son of God. You understand? So now, let's continue. Here it says over in verse 7. Let us look at the verse by verse. And the Holy Spirit said, today if you will hear His voice. Now this is quoted from Psalms 95. Okay. Psalms 95 verse 7 onward. Now this was written by King David. Okay. Okay, now I want you to know. Because here Paul is taking something to make the children of Israel, the Hebrew converts, to understand. Alright, he goes into history. One stage back in the past. One stage that Israel were caught in. And the stage that they are now in today. So now the Bible said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation that is when they were out there in the desert for 40 years. Okay? They tempt the Lord. Alright, don't provoke the Lord when you hear His voice. When your fathers, that is, you know, when you're talking to the Jew or the Hebrew convert, they were reading this, they know referring to what happened under Moses' time. When your father tempted me, proved me, and saw my work 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Now, every time God did something, they just provoke. When they have no water, they go and complain to Moses, you brought us here up to die. What kind of mentality is that? Now, that is exactly what some Christians are today.
That is what some believers are today,
all over the world.
They question in a very silly way. After all, you have been in Egypt, you have seen America, you got out, you see the pillar part, the sea parted, and you walk through the Red Sea, right? God provide water for my quail, God provide food for you. And yet, they grieve God by complaining. Never end. Huh? You know, people complain is, well, I'm not complaining about, what weather, things like that. I'm talking about complaining anything that related to your life as a Christian, in your relationship to God. If you have known the word, you will not complain. If you have no truth, there will be no complaint. You should walk in the light. They do err. Always err in their heart. And they have not known my way. So I swear in my wrath, my anger. So don't take God's grace for granted. Well, in one of the email, someone said, don't you think we should give those Branham a second chance? You know? What do you mean by giving them chance? You know, God has given Israel how many chances? How many chances do you do that Abraham want? If they did the thing that they were doing, continuing, lying, falsehood, manipulating people, and time again the Lord showed them to a brother or sister or to what is being brought to them, when would they change? Would they change? Give them how many more chance? It comes to a time when God's anger will come out. God is gracious, yes. God is merciful, yes. How many chances did He give to the children of Israel? Until so much so that in the northern 10 nation, in the 10 tribes, God says, because what you did, I'm going to send you out to your enemy. And the Assyrian came and took them back to their land. And they were captive there. Judah followed likewise. And they went up there. And Babylon came down and took them up. Make them slave. Right. Okay. God gave them a chance again. Came back to repair. Rebuild Jerusalem. Have the temple. Right. John the Baptist came. Jesus came. Wow. Again, the same thing happened. And when they stole, when they crucified Christ, when Christ was presented to them, they said, away with Christ. Give us Barabbas. For this Barabbas is sent. And you know what he said? Let his blood be upon us and our children, our descendants. God, take your word for what you say. I believe Brother Abraham is the absolute. God, take your word what you say. Brother Abraham said, his books are taught, said the Lord. It's the same as the Bible. God, take your word what you say. When someone tells him that it is not true, that it is wrong, that the message, that's why I preached back in the 80s, when I wrote that book, what is the message of the hours? And many people who have read the book now understand. The message is not the Bible. The Bible is not the message. The message points to the Bible. It points to the Word. Go tell you the Word. So what happened to them? What happened to Israel? 70, 80? The whole city were encompassed. They all died out there. And then this war took place. Huh? What happened? In the Second World War, how many years later? Almost 1900 years later, the Second World War, the Holocaust, how many million Jews were killed? How many? 6 million. But that's not fair. These people were not the one that says that His blood be upon us, right? True. They were not there in the day of Jesus Christ that we reject Jesus Christ. But God have taken their ancestors' word. Because they were out there crying out, let his blood be upon us, right? And our children. And the same Korah, Nathan, when they challenged God's prophet Moses, what happened to them? God said, oh, quick, and destroy not only Korah and Nathan, but the whole family. You see, people don't understand that God cannot always give you the mercy, mercy, mercy without end, and let you go and sin against Him and rebel against Him. There is no such a thing. Because here's what say: whatsoever you sow, you shall also reap. Isn't it true? So God has a limit that you cannot cross. The same as what the book of Hebrews chapter 6, Paul said that. Those are things of the heavenly blessings and all that, you know, and being enlightened. Should they fall away from the truth? How are they able to go back to renew themselves? You cross the line, there is no return. Look at Judas Iscariot. He followed Christ. He saw all the miracles. And he even went out there healing the sick, casting out devil, right? Yes, sir. Do you remember that? And he, what did he do? He sold out the Son of Man, the Son of God, for 30 pieces of silver. And when he realized that he has shed innocent blood, he threw the money down in the temple before the Pharisees. And what did the Bible say? He went and found a place, but he found no repentance. How is it possible? What is it, God not listening to his repentance? He realized he was wrong, he had so innocent blood. He went out there and cried, Lord, forgive me, forgive me. Find a place to pay, couldn't find. God had rejected him. God is not full of mercy. God is not full of grace. Kind of contrary, isn't it? Let me tell you this, brother and sister. God is full of grace. He's full of mercy. But there is a limit to that. You empty all upon you and there's nothing left. Because you have used up your lust. And we think that we can just play along with that. Oh, I'm a Christian. I ask him. I repent. I take him as my Savior. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to the rapture. And you go out there and do whatever you like. Why I believe this last day end time message, that which Abraham was sent, get back to the word and line up yourself with it. Not just line up with doctrines. Not just line up with knowledge of God's word. Everything that we learn, it must reflect in this line. Do you see what I'm talking about? Because that is life. A sweet apple tree must be for sweet apple fruit. Even the apple is sour, you don't expect to bring forth sweet apple. So if we have been taking this sweet word of the Lord and digesting and eating it, well, what is going to be in our lives? Isn't it supposed to be sweet? Isn't it supposed to be full of life? Goodness? Faith, virtue, and all that which pertains to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, people are going around taking it for granted. You know, looking at the condition of the world today, with all this war and violence, with all the problem up there in the Middle East, you know, the peace plan is already planned, people are still upset, of course. Europe, America, England, the Brexit, and all that. China is under control, and now people are afraid. Now the economy is going to kind of slow down because planes are not flying to where people want to go. You know what, today when we entered into Yishun, the road kind of looked deserted. It looked like there's a shutdown here, or lockdown, or something. And people are afraid, people are starting to wear masks for fear. That's what the Bible says in the last day, right? For fear of what is to come. Nations were distressed. Earthquake pestilence, so they're all increasing. All right there now. Famine. Droughts. There's no escape. This thing is building up. It's building up. How many more years do you think we have? I don't know. I just want the Lord to come. Amen. All right. Okay, verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and I said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my way. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Oh, so now we are talking about my rest. What is my rest? They shall not enter into my rest, God said. Now here we have some words here that I wanted to show you here. You know, when we talk about here in this chapter 3 and chapter 4. Now, there is a problem with the way that this chapter are arranged. Okay? Chapter 3 should always continue all the way to chapter 4. Alright? And then in the last verse 14 of chapter 4, verse 14, 15, and 16 should be the starting point of chapter 5. So the people who start making this chapter and verses, you know, they don't get a proper connection. So chapter 3 to chapter 4, the first part, is still talking about the rest. My rest. His rest. Okay, so now, first of all, let me just define the word rest. Well, what do you mean by rest here? So this word here, rest. Well, it is not Sabbath rest. Not the Sabbath as we know. The word here in the Greek is kataposi. K-A-T-A-P-A-U-S-I-S. Kataposi. Now it means a place where you lay down to rest. Okay? Now, there is only one word in these two chapters for the whole thought of rest that has the word Sabbath. It's found in verse 9 of chapter 4. Now, I have to bring this here so that you can understand what Paul is really talking about. Chapter 4, verse 9. There remain therefore a rest. Ah, this rest here is not kata posi. Okay, is Sabbath. Sabbath. Tismu. Sabbath. S-A-B-B-A-T-I-S-M-O-S. Sabbath. Sabbath. Tismu. That's a good word, alright? But that's the Sabbath. So there's a difference between rest, as used here, and rest, which is Sabbath, which is the only word here. Now, I will let you know what was Paul talking about here. Now, when we read the word today, in verse 7 onward, today, if you hear my voice, what is meant by today? As long as it is called today, means now, the time, the present. Today, if you will hear my voice. Now, today is today, right? You hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Tomorrow when some God speak to you, speak today. You get it? As long as you are in the present, God speaks to you, speak today. Whether it be tomorrow, 3 days later, 1 year later, all will still be today, as long as you hear Him. Today, you hear my voice. Harden not your heart. Today means now. when God speaks. Don't wait until tomorrow. You understand what I mean by today? The present now, the period now. It's not tomorrow, it's not yesterday, it's today. Every minute you move forward, every second you move forward, it's today. If you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Many times we don't hear God talk to us because we are so busy with our work. Well, yeah, we are so busy with our work many times that we don't hear God speak. Yeah. That's why, no matter how busy your life may be, let your spirit be still and know that God is there. Yeah? You're home cooking your vegetables or preparing your lunch or dinner. You're doing all that. But let your heart, your spirit be still and know that God is God. That He's there. And when God speaks to you, do it. You know, I went to Chinatown on Thursday, as usual, to eat my mission. One day, you know, queuing up, and here was the brother from the other fellowship. He always do go there to Chinatown, same place, sometimes eat mission, sometimes eat some other thing. So I was queuing, and he came along, he saw me. And he waved to me, I waved to him, I said, do you want to eat? He says, no, he has already eaten. Okay, then he was kind enough to look for a place for me, you know, so that I could sit. And he found on a table there was a man sitting there, and he asked to see the man. He said, yeah, sure, okay. So I bought my mission and sat there, and I thanked the man, young man, he's in his 30s, married, and wife came sitting beside him. And, you know, we were just talking, the Lord just put my hand. You know what I always want to do is I want to be a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There near us, lunch up and share with him the gospel. Starting with, of course, how do you talk to you? Don't go and say, do you know Jesus? No, you don't start off like that. You know, we are talking about, we say, oh, what are you? What are you doing? All this thing. I said, no, talk about the conditions of the world. He said, yeah, there's some problem about that. And I said, that's what the Bible, my Bible said about it. It's going to come. Oh, really? Yeah. Start a conversation. And the brother was listening. This is not the first time. He sat with me a few times where I, among people, strangers on the table, I start a conversation to get the gospel across. Do that. Hear the voice of God. Let the gospel within you, let your profession come forth. Share the word. He may not believe that and that. Never mind. But it will ring in his head when he sees something. Oh yeah, this is what this person told me. This event will come to pass. They all break this and that. You want to understand what I'm saying? Be always filled with the Spirit of God. The Bible said. Huh? Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Speaking to yourself, singing among ourselves, as we do on Sunday. Huh? Praising the Lord. You see. So my rest is talking about God's rest, not your rest. So I'm asking you now, you rest from work? Yeah, I work 6 days a week, I work 5 days a week. I rest on Saturday and Sunday. That's your rest. That's your rest. But here Paul is talking about his rest. God's rest. Where God himself said, my rest. These people who provoke me will not enter into my rest. Now think about it for a moment. Look at what's going on in the entire message. All this message is going on. There are so many right out there on the internet now. Why? Because these people have no rest. They don't understand. They don't get it. A brother posted on Facebook a part of my video sermon that I preached in Paris, in France.
I think it's about, it crop up the portion where I was talking about the speaking of the word. And he subtitled on the Facebook something like this: was Adam supposed to stick to the dust of the earth to create children? Then he put the video there. And in the video, of course, I was all elastic. I always brought back what my first experience with in Uganda. I went out there in Uganda first time, you know. I don't have anything, any spoken word with book, it means nothing. Because God told me, take no thought for what you must speak. Huh? In that hour, they give it to you. So we have the minister meeting for the first time because I was a stranger. They heard of me. These people want to know. Brother John Mark was there. Here came in the two men in wearing white. The brother Mike, wearing a touchy cage, sat opposite me. Okay, we start a prayer. I said, all right, if anybody wants to bring open a discussion, whatever subject you want, let us talk about. Everyone looking at everybody. And of course, everybody was looking at those two white, two men in white. Yeah. And he stood up and said, yes, I want to say the prayer again. You are not teaching what, saying what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said, you said in your book that Brother Branham did not teach that Adam was to speak to the dust of the ground and bring forth children. I said, yes, I that's what I said. He said, no, I want to prove you wrong. So he took out a spoken word book. And he read it. I said, go ahead, read it. I said, well, Brother Branham said, speak to the dust of the ground, bring forth children, and so forth. I said, okay. Then I asked it. Do you remember my last vision? And I told them, I'm not going to put punches here. Okay, I'm going to tell you as it is. To give you a last vision. Okay, now I'm Adam, here's Eve. Adam said to Eve, oh, honey, let's have a son. Okay? He said, okay, let's have a son. And Adam stood there and said to the dust, we'll call him Abel. Abel, come forth! And then the dust come together, form into a body, pfft, he stand up. Abel stood up. And look at Adam and Eve. Papa! Mama! I asked the two men, is that what Abraham meant? Keep very quiet. Now people are looking. No, I don't know what to answer, but I'm God giving that how to deal with this. No answer. I repeat. Second time, still no answer. Finally, I said, okay, this last time, let me present it again in case you don't understand. I present. No answer. I said, okay, since you are silent, it means yes. Silent means consent. Everybody in the room agreed, yeah, that's true, means yes. Yes, right, I said. Yeah, of course, they sat down there. I said, if it's not what Brother Branham, then you will say no. Correct? See, very quiet. You see, if you believe what you believe, why can't you say yes or no? Correct? Okay. All right, I'm not going to put punches. Now I'm Eve. No more Adam. I'm Eve now. And Eve said to Adam, you know, there's something here that's wrong, my darling. I see the male sheep and the female sheep, they come together, and then they have a little lamb, and the lamb suckle from the milk. And I see the bull and the cow, they come together, and they have a calf, and they suckle. Now, Adam, tell me, what is this here for? See, what is the breast for? Of course, those two men, they don't answer, walk out. But you know, on that video, somebody made a comment. You know, on Facebook, people make a comment. They came a brother of mine who talked nonsense. He said, this man here, he's talking about, what is the breast for? What is the breast for? From what Abraham said, the angel came to him with a huge angel. Angel has breast. What? Huh? You know the mentality of people that talk nonsense like that? The brother said, hey, don't open your mouth when you don't even know what you're talking about. He said, then he continued and said, did not Jesus say that the angels over there, they do not merit? So when we go over there, we also do not merit. So you mean to say the angels do not merit? That means they are female and male angels?
And I asked him, I said, you are saying this, you're quoting the Bible, several problems. Are you saying that there are female and male angels? He never replied. Again, he comes back with, oh, you know, you always keep asking what the breast for. I've got to ask you what the breast for. Because I said, don't you understand what you hear in the video? And see what in the video when I was illustrating? I said, what is the purpose of the breast? Because everything that God created has a purpose. And you know something? Women who do not have conception, the breasts have no milk. You see? The ignorance of these people. What the Brahman would call them? Ignoramuses. That's true. Why don't you learn from the Bible? Why are they so afraid of learning from the Bible? Oh, because Brahman never said it. Brahman just speak to the dust of the ground. That's why you make Brother Branham your God, you Branhamites. Time to get out before you perish. And just because you think you hold on to Malachi 4, 5, and 6, Luke 17, 30, and Revelation 3, 7, you think you're going to make the rapture? If you do, God is obligated, my friend, to take the brand, to take all out their denomination. Because you are no different from them. And if you can go, the denomination will also go in the rapture. Then the message that God gave us to come back to the Bible is meaningless. Don't you think so? The message was for a purpose. Why did God send John the Baptist? To prepare the people for him that is to come. You think it was useless? That's what Jesus said, what went for you to go in? What went for you to see out there in the wilderness? A man shaking with the wind and this and that. Huh? Hey, man, brother, this is. I tell you what. This is an old, rickety, dirty Bible to me. People don't know. As I said, study the Bible. Use it well. It's a tool. If you ever buy a hammer, a new hammer, and never use it, the hammer still look pristine, right? But if you have been using it, you know what happened to the hammer head after a while, and the hammer handle after a while? What happened? It wore out. And that's so very true that it's been said. If a Bible is in a bad shape, you are in good shape. If a Bible is in good shape, you are really bad. In a real bad shape. Tools are meant to be used. That's the Bible is our tools. It's for our life. Verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Alright, here now, every one of you believe, I hope, I pray that everyone you believe. Everyone you believe in the Lord? Yes. Oh, just kind of quiet. No, don't know whether you... Do you believe in the Lord? Do you believe in the Lord? Amen. Okay, now, if you believe in the Lord, that's what you are saying. Take heed, brethren, lest any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. For Paul is warning this Hebrew convert. Because the moment you already have the truth, you have been enlightened. You have taste of the heavenly thing. And now you want to depart. And that's a warning very soon because you might overstep, you might step over the line of no return. Yeah. And that's why it's very hard for many people. Not talk about their faith, but talk about many people when, you know, especially out there, they preach something that they do not know. But they preach it. When they preach it out there, and they publish it in the paper, in the book form, or on the tape, and they send it out. And they preach the same thing year after year and after year. Like what's happening here in Singapore. The rapture is over. We're in the millennium. Right? No need for foot washing. No need for communion. You preach that. Later on you realize it is wrong. Do you think it is easy for you to
repent?
To say, I'm sorry that I was wrong. Do you think it is easy? Think about it.
Because you have been telling people all this. Like what Baruch did out there in DRC.
Huh?
Like what is going on now in Abraham Tabernacle. The tape. Put Brother Abraham back in the pulpit. Don't need a five-fold ministry. That's why in the email the sister of compiling it sent to me, he wrote this email and sent it out to those she was concerned with. Then she forwarded a copy to me. In that email he wrote to those brothers and sisters out there, he says, I was searching and I found Brother Gunn's on his audio video on the subject of Joshua. And I listened to it. And he said, you people need to listen to what Brother Gunn said about Joshua. And after that, she said, I went through the quotes of Brother Branham to find what Brother Branham said. And he brought all the quotes. And it was so beautiful, Brother Branham said. And I sent it to Brother Andrew Peer. Brother Branham said, that's a nice quote to prove the whole thing. Because Brother Branham said this. After Moses was Joshua. But Joshua was Ephesians 4. And we need Ephesians 4. Amen. Now, the son of Brother Branham. The tape is enough. I told one of the ministers here years ago when I met him in the funeral wake, asking him, where do you fellowship now? He said, why fellow, I just stay home, listen to tape. I said, is that the way that God is going to perfect you? Oh, you mean you want me to come to your church? I said, no, I didn't say that. You see how people are? They know that it's wrong. That he's not going to perfect him. But he don't want to admit it. Because he thinks he has a ministry. Because they think the rest are all wrong. And he's right. And he's still home listening to the tape. And I told him, I said, if anyone can be perfected by the tape, my Bible would be wrong. And I said, I don't think my Bible is wrong. Let us get serious about this. There's a time where we need to get ourselves in the Word of God and know our faith and know what's coming. Or else, if we're not watchful and prayerful, we'll be caught unaware. Remember? Right. All right. Let's continue with that now and verse 13. But exhort one another daily. Why it is called today. See? Every day, why it is still called today? Today. Next Sunday you come here, I'll say still today, right? If we are still here, it's still today. Huh? Which is called today. Daily, exhort one another, which is called today. Until Christ come. Today will no longer be today. Because it's over. Today have vanished into another dimension. So why is it still called today? Exhort one another daily. Today, let any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, this doesn't mean that, oh, you're God, you sin, things like that, but the word sin can, it covers many things. Your pride, your unbelief, your own ideas of what the word is, you know what I mean? Anything the contrary to the word of God. Whether you sin against God's word, or sin against God, or you sin against anybody else, whatever it is, this is. But here the Bible is talking about the deceitfulness of sin. You have your own opinion that this is okay, that is okay. Like what my spirit made friends said, it's okay if you're baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's okay if you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, because God knows your heart. That's deceitful. You are deceiving yourself, right? Is that not true? Because the Bible said there's only one way. What are you? And then he would say, it doesn't matter as long as you believe in Jesus Christ. Uh-huh.
So if you believe in Jesus Christ and you believe in all the other things that are tradition, and the Bible says that God has no tradition, that God has is not darkness, and God is this light. Alright. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. I know there are a lot of people in end-time message, they are backslidden. They've been in the message, preaching the message for 20 or 30 years, they are pastors. They're gone. The two men that challenged me when I was in Ghana, you saw the picture in the website? But again, are you telling me that the church order and doctrine of Brother Branham, a COD book, it's only for Brother Branham's tabernacle, not for the bride worldwide? Doing this at the table's breakfast table, I said, yes. You are wrong again! And so on and so forth. Where are they today? If I'm wrong, I'm still around. How many people are out here in Singapore, those churches, those who have considered that they have a ministry? And those believers, where are they today? They are no longer around. You know why? Because there's no foundation in them. Amen. What is your foundation, my brother? I say, what is your foundation? The Word. Brother Branham's word is not your foundation. My word is not your foundation. The foundation is Christ, the Word of God. Amen. If you do not know the foundation, and the apostolic foundation that was laid down, laying the scripture the way it should be, laying the revelation it should be, then you are lost. Amen. That's what the Catholic. What do you know? What do the Catholic know anyway? Nothing. Sister Louisa, you're Catholic before, right? Sister Valley, are you not? No, you're not. You were. You were also, right? So you can see the difference from what you've been taught. Sister Lucy, that was a Catholic before too. So what have you been taught? It's all tradition, it's all the thing that came from an organization that holds the people for power. So now you see the difference? The truth sets you free.
Amen.
From all that thing. From all that, the body of Christ. Huh? Baby baptism. Go to confession box. Where did it come from? And isn't that same today out there in the denomination? And also right in the entire message. And what Noah Problem said the message is not going to be organized. You cannot organize around the Word of God. But they have formed it. They have formed it out there into an ism. God have mercy on them. 50. Why did he say, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with them was he grieved 40 years. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So, we see that they should not enter in because of unbelief. Now here, this passage, the way it was in King James, or the modern King James, it's badly translated. Okay? Now, let's just look at it. Let me just help you understand this. Verse 16. Because verse 15 said, why did he say today, if you will hear this voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. Verse 16 said, for some, when they had heard, they provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Bad translation, right? It means to say that only some provoke. Right? And not all provoke. Isn't that right? The way it is. But you see, the way that the Hebrew structured the word is asking a question. But not the way it is put here. Let me just add some word to it or shift the word around so you understand. It should be like this. For not some, when they had heard, did provoke. However, was it not all that came out of Egypt that provoked? You get what I mean? Not just some provoke. Not, but the question is, not some provoke. All provoke God. But so all out there, died out there in the wilderness. How many went into the land of Canaan? How many? Come on, out of all those that are 20 and above, how many went in? Only two. All provoked except for that two. Joshua and Caleb. Think about it. Paul just said, not some provoked, but all. And that's why it says in verse 17, but whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned? Those whose carcass fell in the wilderness? Well, you know what? Those who are 20 years and above that rebelled against God, they probably got, they all died out there in the wilderness, you know? Whoa! That's a lot of people out there dying in 40 years. Yeah, 40 years. So if you are 20 years, by the time you are 60 years, you die. So if you are 60 years, if you can live up to the next 40 of 100, you die. One by one dying out there. Then the next generation, from 19 years and below, grow up. The only two persons who are 20 and above that enter in were Joshua and Caleb. They went in and spied out and they said, we believe. The other says, no, the giants on it, we cannot take it. What? My goodness, let me say this, my brother and sister. We have seen miracles, don't we? You have seen miracles in your life. You have healing by God in your life. And you have seen what God is doing in the ministry of Brother Abraham, all those you read about. If there is something horrible and trial comes our way, can you cease to believe that we are not going to go into heaven? We are not going to be with Christ. Are you going to have that kind of feeling? That's what Paul was saying. We are partaker that we have the whole, from the beginning of our coming, the whole fast unto the end. Don't let all this wind that are blowing in the world today and the raging sea of water that's causing the whole world problems, all the madness and distress of nations, frightens you. Huh? Are you afraid? If people are afraid of, getting dizzy and pneumonia and dying. Yeah, we need to be careful, of course. But don't get all so fearful until you cannot live a normal life. Everywhere you go, you put a mask. Go to the market, you put a mask. Go to the mall, you put on a mask. Why? When somebody in the mask cried, you run away to the other side. And that's what happened yesterday when I came back with Zoe Kramer and Adam in the train. Adam put on this mask, a black mask, a chakwa kind of mask. And I was sitting in the old man's seat, and the guy come sit beside him. Was a young man, saw Adam coming. Oh, he got up and went to the next school. I know it was because of him, and I had no idea. I was wondering what happened. Why? If you see a man sitting in the bus, wearing a mask, and you sit next to him, are you afraid to sit next to him? People are avoiding, you know. Maybe he just cleaned his throat. You know, don't let fear take over you. Huh? Fear is the opposite of faith. I want you to know that. Verse 80. And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they should not enter in because of unbelief. Simply because of unbelief. Once you're unbelief, you cannot enter in. Brother McCrib with a message to point us back to the Word. Either you believe or you don't. But if you say that the message is the Bible is the message, and you are really already wrong. Denominations do not see. Because they do not believe this mystery of the coming of Elijah. And that's very hard to understand. That's why there are three things that Brother Branham taught that people have objection. Huh? One, the Godhead doctrine. Okay? Two, the sovereignty. And the third, the Elijah ministry. Do you know the Elijah ministry of Malachi 4, 5, and 6? It's already been in the 19th century that there are people that saw that verse of scripture showed that there must come a man in the spirit of Elijah. And there are past, there are many that claim to be. But there are none that manifest it. Even Herbert Armstrong, huh, of Breakthrough, believed that he's Elijah. Right. And today, after Abraham's gone, there are many that claim to be Joshua, claim to be Elisha, or did they have the mentor of Brother Branham? It's so important to understand the scripture that the church age ends. This is the seventh church age. Alright? You understand? There is a message in this age. There's no more that is to come except Ephesians 4. Because Ephesians chapter 4, the five ministry can never operate until the children of God are back to the homeland. You mean by homeland? This is your homeland. You are born of this world. Remember, come back to it. Look at Joshua. Went into across River Jordan to take the land of Canaan. Right, after they have settled down the land of Canaan, what did he do? He sat down and divided the land. Remember? Right. Get over it, conquer it, divide it. Here we have a message to come back to this world. Can you believe? You believe you are conquering. Come here. Joshua 20 ministry will take over and divide the word of truth. Yeah. Joshua, the minister, the leadership is there. In the fivefold, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And I said this, and I always believe this. I don't care what people say. If it begins with apostle having the foundation, and that foundation destroyed, apostle must be back at the end to lay it back, to restore it back, to put it back. You got it? People say, Brother Branham restored the foundation. No. Brother Branham restored the bride back to the world. That's why he said the fivefold ministry will perfect the bride. And that's what Paul said. The trip is not going to do you any good. It's only a message. And I already have the message. I don't need the tape anymore. Once a wife wants to listen to it, she'll go and listen to it. No problem. I can go back and read John Wesley's sermon. I can go back to read Spurgeon's sermon or watch Mooney's sermon. No problem. But those are the things that are not going to perfect you. Those are the things that help you understand about life, about this and that. But get back to the Word. Alright. Now, chapter 4. Let us therefore fear lest the promise be left us of entering into his rest. Any of you should seem to come short of. Again, you see the word entering into his rest. You see the word there? For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Oh, that's right. You see what the gospel was preached to those people out there in under Moses? And the word gospel doesn't mean, the word gospel don't mean the gospel that we have today. The word gospel means good news. Good tidings. You got it? So under Moses they have the gospel. They were in Egypt. God delivered them out. Right? Good news. God is going to give us the promised land. So good news. It was preached to them. And then they were coming Messiah, because Moses said they were, the Lord thy God will raise up a prophet unto me. When he comes, the word he uttered, you better hear. You better believe. If not, he'll cut you off. That's good news. Huh? And all that which was shown to the children of Israel in the tabernacle, the pattern, all the sacrifices, that depict the coming of the Messiah and his ministry. But they don't believe. And the promise to enter into the land, Canaan land, their rest, the place of rest. But this wasn't the rest that God talks about when he said, my rest. A lot of people don't understand. You know how many of them misinterpret this? They shall not enter into the rest, right? And so they say, oh, did they enter? That's why they all die out there in the wilderness. But they was not talking about God's rest. Huh? It's to bring the children of Israel out and give them a place to rest from their toil and their slavery in Egypt. Right? Now, asking you. In this physical life, don't we have toil and suffering? Right? Correct or not? Huh? Every day we go to work, we get fatigued, we get headaches sometimes, we got all this problem. This is toys of life. It's not right. We want to rest completely for it all. Well, so sometimes you work so hard after day after day, say, I wish I don't have to do this. You say, yeah, bro, Luke, work for 48 hours and as being on watch. Then he went back home, he went lying in the bed and he's rest. So we all want our rest. I want my rest. I said, Lord, I want my rest. I don't want to travel anymore. You know, that's a lot of work to do. Have to deal with all these things, have this question overseas, this problem. They're asking for money, asking for help. That's a lot of pressure here. I wish that sometimes I just throw my hand and I say, Lord, I give up. I don't know what to do. So I just lie down and just try to empty my mind away from all this problem. See, that's what Israel were in, out there in Egypt. They were slaves. They were toiling. They were making bricks for the pharaohs. And God said, I'm going to give them, I want to give you a place of rest. That's, I'll promise you, the promised land. They're supposed to come out right and go right in. But the moment they came out, they grumbled, said, God said, these people really grieved me. So they will not enter into that rest. Now, that is one kind of rest. How many kind of rest do you know? We have the Sabbath rest, Sunday rest, right? Oh, the Sabbath rest, sabbatical rest, the Saturday rest, right? Okay, and that's a rest of 48 hours. Remember, the day after the 49th week, which is the Sabbath, that's Pentecost. So you have 2 days of rest. Then we have the yearly Sabbath. Okay, or the cycle of the 7 years. That means every 7th year, your land, you must let it rest. So, there are different kind of rest. When you talk about rest in general, whether you use the word rest or Sabbath, you understand now. That's what here Paul is trying to tell them, right? And, you see, they have the truth. But God, because they did not mix it with faith, they hear. The word they preach to them profit them nothing. Because they did not mix with faith. What is faith? Now, the problem I hear, that's real prophet and time message. Oh, Brother Abraham said, Amen. Brother Abraham said something, Amen. On tape. Huh? Because Brother Abraham said, if can you answer Amen to the word of God? You can say Amen to the word, right? So why would I think Brother Abraham said, Amen? They actually did not hear. I was in Ghana, that's what happened when I preached the first day. Every time I said one sentence, Amen! They shout and jump. After 5 minutes, I said, Please, no more of this. You know what I mean? They are just trying to exercise their faith. That's not faith! I mean, when you really know something to be truth, you can say Amen. But not every statement, Amen. You want to preach? I say, okay, I'm going to stop here for a while. Amen! I'm from Singapore. Amen! What? Every word, every statement means people are not hearing. Hear! But see, that's a religious thing about it. Say Amen every so often when you're not understanding and hearing it. But here he is too quiet here. Yeah, once in a while, you know, when you know something, oh, that's really good. Say Amen. You know. Alright. So, because if you don't mix your faith, but when you say Amen doesn't mean that you have faith. Mix your faith means that you have a revelation, you see it. You see that to be true. Now, if I were to preach a gospel message in a group of mixed Christian with unbeliever, huh? And I said, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, He's the Savior of the world, He's my Savior and your Savior. Who would say Amen? The Christian would say Amen. But the sinner, they can't say Amen because they do not know, they don't understand that. Until they see the light, that their sinner repent, now they can say Amen. Yes. And when you talk about what about them in Jesus' name, and not in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now that takes a revelation. Because what you see here in Matthew, you see that in Acts, which is which. Therefore, for the understanding, look into Acts. Every one of them, they'll baptize, all baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Then you say, Amen. That's true. Baptism is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not any other name or titles. You see, that is what you must mix with faith. But people who hear but don't understand, or they refuse to hear, they cannot mix it with faith because they don't have it. You understand what I'm saying? Correct. Like I said, in Uganda, the two men that came in, arguing over, speaking the word to the dust of the ground, I explained everything. Everybody in the room saw it. Because that's the first time they heard it. And they walk off. Those two men. And the rest of them, they come to me and say, Brother God, I didn't know this. That is very true. A simple understanding that God, everything that God created, has a purpose. So if Adam brought Abraham out of the dust of the ground, and when you all creation, huh? Oh, mature. Chicken or egg. Remember? Correct now. Lamb or sheep? Because if you have a lamb, the lamb needs to be fed. Where is mama? That's what they say, brother. That's true. Abel is already out. There's no need for milk. So what is the purpose of the female breast? That's why we talk about revelation. Okay. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he speaketh in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his work. And in this place again, which is in Psalm 35, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore, it remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, and it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus had given them rest, or that is to say, if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterwards spoken of another day. There remained, therefore, a rest to the people of God. I want to close in a little while and explain next week a little further. But here for now, just a little bit here. Verse 3. For I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Now, God is talking about his rest. He's not talking about a rest day. He's not talking about my rest, a place in Canaan. No. He's talking about my rest. You got it? He's not talking about your rest. Right? God promised us a rest. But that rest is in him. Got it? That rest is not on this earth. To the Hebrew, to them, point on covenant, the rest is not in Canaan. You understand? Because here, in this verse here, verse 9, there remained therefore a Sabbath, a Sabbatimos. And yet, over there you see in the further the verse in verse 3. As I have sown in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. When God created heaven and earth, after 6 days, what happened on Sunday? He rested. He rested. And that's a day. Okay? Do you think God needs to rest? Think about it, huh? Do you think God doesn't need to rest? What was he talking about? What is all this rest? It's not about a Sabbath day. It's about a Sabbath. So do you know the difference between a Sabbath day and a Sabbath? We talk about a day and the rest. Rest day and rest are totally different things. Now, you have a day of rest. I mean, you work 5 days. No, most people work 5 days. All right. And you have 2 days rest. Right? There's only 2 days rest. Can you work 5 days and rest forever? Every day you rest, no more work, and get money coming in? Not possible, right? So we are talking about days, it's one thing. We are talking about rest, it's another thing. The Sabbath and the Sabbath day, different. Okay? Although his work was finished from the foundation of the world, for he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest 7 days from all his work. And in this place again, now here we have, the Bible says, God worked 7 days, created heaven and earth, 6 days, sorry, and rest on the seventh day. But yet, later on in David, so Paul is talking about one rest in the creation, one rest that David talks about. Okay? Yeah. See here. And in this place, verse 5, again, if they shall enter into my rest, that is Psalms 95, verse 11. Okay? If they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore, it remained that some must enter therein, and them to whom it was first preached, enter not in because unbelief. Now, what was preached to them that they cannot believe? If this is the rest that God promised them, It's certainly not talking about Canaan land. Canaan land is just a physical rest for them. God wanted to give them a rest that is long and eternal. But they never get. There's a port. Then it's like King David, come on, I'll talk about another rest. Not the rest of God in the Sabbath day, but another was in the Canaan land. Get it? David is talking about another rest. And therefore now, in verse 7, again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, that he said, today, if you will hear his voice, hearken not your heart. For if Jesus, the word Jesus here is supposed to be translated Yahshua. Okay, it's Joshua. Okay? So it's the same word. So it was Joshua meant here. Okay? But also a play with the word. You get what I mean? Jesus is Joshua in Hebrew, huh? In Greek it is Yeshua, huh? Okay? For if Jesus had given them, or Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Obviously, isn't it? If they have given the rest there in the Canaan land, why would King David talk about another rest? Huh? And when God said he created heaven and earth in 6 days, and in 7 days he rested, did God really need to have a rest? So what is this all about? Okay, then, verse 9. There remained, therefore, a Sabbath Timos to the people of God. This is the Sabbath of the Lord. The Sabbath of the Lord. What is the Sabbath of the Lord? You mean the 7 day when he rests? No. Because God don't need rest. The Bible says he created 6 days after that he rests, right? Cease for more his work. Yeah. Because God don't really need rest. But that one prefigures something. As you said that God had, well, let me say this. If God, the Bible says God has ceased from his work, right? But how come God is working today? Right, he's still working on, he's still working on me. He's still working on you. Don't you think so? So what is he talking about? Now, that's what it is. His rest in verse okay, go back to chapter 3, where you see the word my rest and his rest. My rest over in verse 11, right? And then the word down, further down in verse 18, you see the word enter not into his rest, right? And in chapter 4, you see the word my rest in verse 3, okay? So, my rest, his rest, or God's rest, as you say, is equivalent to Sabbath Timos, which you find in verse 9. This is the only place where there remained, therefore, a rest to the people of God, which is the Sabbath of the Lord. And the Sabbath of the Lord is not the 6 day. I mean, the 7 day where, the Saturday where, you know, the 7 day where this came. No. What is the Sabbath of the Lord? Have you entered into the rest? I have. Have you? The day that you receive the Holy Spirit, God comes into your life. You cease from all your work, no more struggle. You enter into the rest. The rest is eternal. It's not of this dimension. You know what I mean? I'm at rest with God. I don't struggle with sin. I don't struggle with problem all the time here and there in all this mighty. Yeah, there's problem. But I am already have this rest in the Lord. I have entered into the rest of God. I have entered into the Sabbath of God. It's not only on Sunday. It's every second of the day. So you see that that's why a lot of people who hear the word of God and believe, say, the believing in Jesus. But they never really hold to the confidence of the faith that they have and move on. And that's why the Bible says, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They never have received that. And if many of them, they have received it, but they don't continue to be filled with it. Huh? They struggle with the problem, the persecution, the trial, they grumble like Israel. And they're saying, Paul later on said in the book of in chapter 6, people have tasted of the heavenly thing and enlightened, and they fell away from the faith. That's right. There's a Paul warning them. You understand? Hold fast and confident. Don't fall away into unbelief. The word rest. I already told you the word kata posi. It means a place, an abode, a house actually, where you can go and sleep, recline, rest from the toys of your life. So when you have, God says, my rest, my house, my place, mine, not yours. If you come to my place, you have rest. When you rest, after you rest, when you go into the house, first of all, you have food to eat, right? Of course, you know, people in my will get the food. The house of God is full of, what is the house of God? Bethlehem. The house of God's bread. Is that not true? Okay, you have bread, you have dreams. Come, taste of me. Quench your thirst, right? Drink of the Spirit of God. So you have the Word, you have the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit, they are life. That's why you get the life. Once you get it, then you go to sleep. Once you have sleep, it gives you three things. One, peace. You come to the house of God, you eat His Word, you drink His Spirit, you have peace. Is that not true? Number two, you will have joy. When you have peace, you have joy, right? When there is war, you didn't have joy. You have problem everywhere. So you have peace, you have joy. Then joy, you get strength. Three things. Peace, joy, and strength. And that is in the house of God. And it is in God's house of rest. Amen. Come unto me, all you the heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Amen. My rest, God said. My rest. My Sabbath. The Sabbath of God. Amen. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you. Bless the Holy Word, O Father. Bless the Holy Word. Oh, worthy Lord, again, of praise and worship. Thank you, Lord, Father in heaven. Thank you. Bless your people now, Father. Take the word again, Lord, and break it down further as we digest it. And to thank you, Lord, for your great love to give us this rest in you. A rest that we no longer toy in this world, in a life that once we were in sin, with all the distress of things around us, and it affects us spiritually. But now, Father, as we are in you, we have this joy, and we have this peace, and we have this strength. We thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. So, Father, thank you once again in Jesus' name. Amen.